Isaiah 55, 6 through 11. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Last week, I recounted a bit of my wife and I's travels to South Carolina for Isaac's graduation, then to New Jersey to visit Wyatt and Monica, our son and daughter-in-law. And I mentioned my son's church. Later, I was upbraided by a fellow church member for describing my son's church as not perfect. Isn't every church imperfect? Was the question, and yes. As soon as church gets its first member, it's no longer perfect. And but one day, every local assembly will be perfect. And according to Ephesians 5, that's the goal, that's the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church, the bride, that he would present it to himself, spotless church. However imperfect I was in describing my son's church, what I had in mind was the fact that he and his wife are going there not with the idea of what or how the church can minister to them, but for what and how they can minister and serve in the church. When Wyatt first went there, he was single and they had no pastor and no one in his age group. Now he's married and they do have a pastor imported from Colorado. So imagine, I mean, we went there to visit and we enjoyed the visit, but to go there and live is quite a different story. And they have two other couples, young couples, that are attending. My son and daughter-in-law are serving in the church. And yes, they're being blessed because whenever you serve the Lord, you are blessed. But their goal, their attitude is to serve Christ and his local body there. And I praise God for that. And that attitude is exactly the sense of our passage this morning. And I'll have to go quickly. So if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, I want to read chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father, we ask for your blessing, your aid at this time. We pray that we would be able to see glorious things in your word, and that seeing those things would change us. We ask this in our Savior's name. Amen. Last Lord's Day, I offered this outline for this passage. The title, I said, was Our Spiritual Duty. Our Spiritual Duty. And our first point was the motivation for our duty, which is the end of all things is at hand. The Lord's imminent return should be a motivation for us to do our spiritual duty. And then the manual for our spiritual duty, as described in verses 7, 8, and 9. First was our personal holiness, that we be sober and watch unto prayer, and we discussed that. And then our mutual love, We would have fervent charity, that we would use hospitality. And then this, today, we'll briefly discuss our spiritual service, verses 10 and 11. And I have four components of our spiritual service. The first is that every Christian has received a gift, a divine enablement for ministry to the body of Christ. And the word gift is the word charisma, which is the same, is from the root word charis, which means grace. Beloved, you have a grace gift, a gift from God that enables Him to show and shower and share His grace with His body. And it's given to you solely by the Spirit's will. The Spirit of God has distributed to each believer a unique gift. And we could say it's a combination of gifts. The variety of spiritual gifts is expressed in the word at the end, near the end of chapter, verse 10, manifold. It means many-colored. Or if you're into plants, variegated or multifaceted. And most of us who are married have a diamond. Or at least ladies do. I have my dad's ring that my mom bought him. It has a diamond in it. What makes a diamond sparkle? I saw a picture once of a diamond in the rough, you know, in this natural state. It's just been mined. It looked like nothing that I would pick up. What makes a diamond sparkle? It's the facets that are cut on it. And that's what makes it sparkle. God's grace sparkles in His church when believers take their gift that's multifaceted and use it in service to one another. And He has bestowed that upon them, and He expects us to use it in our spiritual service. Every Christian has at least one gift, often combinations of them. And it's also multicolored, and that brings up the idea of a master painter, an artist who has that palette, and he puts a little red and blue and white, maybe green, and he takes his brush and with his skill combines the colors, mixing them just right to make the exact unique color that he desires. And that shade is what he uses. 1 Corinthians 12 is one of the two passages where Paul lists spiritual gifts. And it says in 12 verses 7 and verse 11, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all," to profit everyone. "And all these works with the one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." The Holy Spirit works in all those gifts, gives them to whomever He wishes. And what's the purpose? We'll get to that. But again, let me say, every believer has a gift from God that God has purposely, on purpose, given to them for His glory and for the benefit, the blessing of His church. And Peter, unlike Paul, who lists out many different gifts, he simply divides them into two broad categories: speaking gifts and serving gifts. Words and deeds, we could say. First point, every Christian has a grace gift. Second, what is every Christian to do with that grace gift? Well, verse 10, "As every man has received the gift, minister the same." Minister that same gift. Not envying someone else's gift, or not disparaging, not talking them down because they have a gift that you don't. God, the Holy Spirit, has given everyone gifts as He wills. And we are to minister the same gift to one another. We're to use that gift to serve one another. You serve the body using the very gift that God, the Holy Spirit, has graciously given to Him or to you. Use the unique gift. And that's unique, like a spiritual snowflake. Everyone's different. Or a spiritual fingerprint. It's only yours. And we're to use it, it says, as a steward, a good steward of the manifold multifaceted, multicolored, variegated, various grace of God. And what's a steward? Something that they were very familiar with in their culture, but we don't have what we call stewards. The closest thing we have is a manager. A steward in the first century was one who served as a house manager. He had no wealth of his own, but he distributed his master's wealth in accordance with his master's will, his master's direction. Think of Joseph. When God blessed Joseph and he came out of slavery and Potiphar made him master over his whole house, he was a steward. Did Joseph own it? No. He was responsible to use his master's, Potiphar's goods like Potiphar directed and wanted. And God has given grace gifts to us, to believers, to you. And you're to use that as ministers of God's grace to his church, to this body. Every gift is given to a believer, but it's not your gift. It's not intended for you to use for your own individual will, according to your own individual will, for your own pleasure. It is everyone's gift that you possess, and you are to serve everyone in the church body with it. It belongs to the whole body for edifying the body, for building it up. First point, every Christian has a gift. Secondly, what are we to do with that gift? Serve others with it. Verse 10, look at that. Well, I've read it already. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister. That's serve. That's the same word as where we get deacon. Minister the same one to another as good stewards. Believer, you are important to this local body, to this local church. You are important to every other believer. And if you are not serving in accordance with the gift that God, the Holy Spirit, has given to you, then you're sinning against that God. You're sinning against the God who's given it to you because it's not for your benefit. It's for the benefit of one another. Look around. Your gift is to bless, to minister, to serve everyone else in here and those who are not in here. One day, as a steward, you will give account to the one who has placed you in that stewardship. In Matthew 25 and in Luke 19, Jesus told parables regarding that day of accounting. And we will stand before the Lord and give an account. That's where we will hear, if we have been a good, faithful steward, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, enter into the joy of your Lord. What a day that will be. Every Christian has a gift. Every Christian is to use that gift for the benefit, the blessing of others. Thirdly, how are we to use those grace gifts? How is a believer to use them? How can we be good stewards? First part of verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. If God has gifted you with a gift, that's what Peter calls a speaking gift. And there's often overlap, just like those colors on the palette. They are mixed. If you're gifted with a speaking gift, then you are to speak like you are speaking the very oracles of God. What's an oracle? We've heard that. You know, there's that famous Warren Buffett, right? That's maybe the first time I heard it. He's called the Oracle of Omaha. He's a wizard at stocks and stuff. What is oracle? He would say, this is what I think you should invest in. And millions of people would follow his bidding. He spoke and people followed. You hear about oracles. The Greeks had so many gods, a god for this, that, and the other. And they always waited for an oracle from their god before they made a decision or made a move. What is oracle? The very speakings, utterances. Anyone who has a speaking gift is to use that gift as though they're speaking the very words of God. Because when you use it to minister God's word, you are speaking the very words of God. Don't garble it up. Don't give human opinion. Don't give your thoughts. Give the word of God. And whoever has a serving gift is to exercise it not in human power, but by the ability and or the strength. That word there, the ability, is power, like strength. Not power as in authority, but power as in might. Serve one another with that gift using the strength that God has given. That is, relying upon the Holy Spirit, not your own strength. Not serving for selfish motives, but like Peter said in verse 8, fervent charity. And use hospitality. Fourthly, what's the result of every believer ministering his gift in those ways? Verse 11, the last part. So that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. God is glorified through Jesus Christ. The goal of all believers in everything was mentioned here on the PowerPoint. One of the goals, that God is glorified. God is glorified when we obey. God is glorified when we step out, perhaps in fear, but we step out in faith and do what he has said. Now, Stephen, okay? Now, there's lots of things that I've read, heard, you know, sometimes how to find your spiritual gift. Okay? Maybe God has given Stephen the gift of speaking. He's certainly going to find it out. Maybe he has some overlap with speaking and serving. He's going to use it. Same with Mike and Sarah. We should all be seeking to glorify God in everything that we do. The purpose for our very existence is to glorify God. Our spiritual duty, ultimately, is to bring glory to the Lord. Those details that Peter listed that we talked about last week and this week are just components of our ultimate duty. How do we glorify God? By doing these things, by having these attitudes, by ministering our gifts. And only through Christ, as we are in Christ, as we are complete in him, as we are accepted by God in him, as we are justified in him, as we are sanctified, made holy in him, can we glorify God. And there's a bit of a mystery. To whom does the word to whom refer? To whom be glory and dominion? Okay? To whom be praise and dominion? To whom is that referring? To Jesus or to God the Father? Well, I don't know. It's a divine-inspired ambiguity. I think the praise, the dominion, belong to both God the Father and Jesus his Son. And it says forever and ever. Literally, unto the ages of the ages. That Greek word ages is aeon. We understand eon. Okay? Age upon age. Or as it's expressed, I think it's in Ephesians, world without end. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And whatsoever you do, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do it all for God's glory. Peter said we should be motivated to do our spiritual duty by the certainty and the nearness, the imminency of Christ's return, which will result in our personal holiness, our mutual love, and our spiritual service. And Peter ends with the word amen. He gives this doxology, he breaks into praising the Lord, and he ends with amen. So let it be. Father, we thank you that you have blessed us with the knowledge of your will, and that your will is revealed for us in your word. Father, we pray that you would urge us, spurn us all on to use the gift that your Spirit has blessed us with for others' benefit. Help us, Father, to step out perhaps of our own comfort zone, our own shyness, our own limitations, Father, and see that you are omnipotent, that you, through your grace, if you've given us that gift, you will empower us, because that is your gift. Power to do as the ability that God has given. And Father, may we, as this local body, glorify you, that others would see that we are your children by the love that we have one for another. We ask this for Jesus' sake and in his name. Amen.